Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk three times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
Here's the Chicago offense.
Matt Forte, Tulane University.
Touchdown Bears! A dramatic catch by Matt Forte!
Matt Forte.
Forte, 50-yard run for a touchdown.
You know, just watching Matt Forte on film, watch him here. He can make those jump cuts. I mean, he can plant that left foot and then jump way over to the right and then plant the right foot and go upfield again.
10-year NFL veteran.
You know what, guys? It's a pleasure and an honor to be a part of this team. I'm excited about this. I haven't been on a team in a long time. It's good to be back, Holmes.
Two-time Pro Bowl selection.
My wife would laugh because whenever I see an open field full of grass, like green grass, I just get excited. Like, I could be driving in a car next to a field, and I just get excited because that's what it looks like.
Underrated, but I still be scoring Matt Forte. Matt Forte with Spiegel and Holmes.
I think we're on record of how important Matt is.
On 670 The Score.
Every week we get the chance to talk with Matt Forte, and it's great. He joins us here on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Matt, thanks as always for joining us. We appreciate it. We have been having a conversation since the game ended yesterday that the formula for the Bears winning yesterday felt very familiar, and it felt kind of familiar last week, too, where it's like, oh, get a run game, get the back out into some space and make him a pass catcher and then play defense and take the ball away. Are you also having deja vu?
Oh, yeah, that's the first thing I thought of, man. It was especially, I think, that 2010-11 season where we had kind of a like the number one or top three ranked defense in the league. And we would, and then we figured out how to run the ball. And I think that is kind of what has happened. I'm glad they figured that out earlier than we did. We had a bye week, I think week eight, and then we kind of figured that out. But they already had their bye week, and now, you know, we're on a 4-game winning streak. And it is, you know, the consistency factor of the run game that has produced the efficiency within the offense. They're moving the ball down the field, whether it's down the field passes or intermediate passes, but then also with an effective running game where they're opening up seams. And you can see the excitement that DeAndre has, as well as the other running backs, where Manungai had a few explosive runs, and even Roshan got in there and had a big run on a short yardage down. And, you know, it's not very complicated. I think it's something that we overcomplicate football, where the best football teams are the ones who have this running game that's established, but also a balanced attack. And they're able to take the weight off of a quarterback's shoulders and allow him to manage the game in a way where he can excel. And then the offensive coordinator who's calling the plays or the play caller can be comfortable back there and put the players in position to make plays and create those mismatches on the defense, especially, you know, when you got a defense out there taking the ball away and creating turnovers out there. I think, if I'm not mistaken, it's been at least 8 turnovers in the last 2 games that they've been able to receive and help us on offense to get great field position as well.
I think it's 7 in the last 2 games, Matt. It's 15 in the last 5, which is insane. And it is like those teams. And I love that you referenced 2010. I'm back here looking at it. Yep. And 2010,
you got the bye week perfectly right.
Yeah,
too,
you nailed it. You nailed it. 4-3 in the first 7 games. Went over 100 yards rushing just twice in that for those first 7. But then after that, after the bye, came out and rushed for over 105 straight and 8 out of 9. So you guys figured it out at the time. Did you guys like count on turnovers? Did you trust that they were going to come? Because that doesn't feel like it should be the case, but maybe certain defenses are worthy of that.
Yeah, I know going into the games, I was one of the guys that was like, look, you know, if we can establish our running game and at least, you know, stay close, our defense is so good that I knew they were going to get turnovers. You know, when you got 55 out there, 54, 33, you know, these guys are punching the ball out, making interceptions, you know, forced fumbles, all this stuff. And it was just amazing to watch. And it's just inspiring as an offensive player to watch the defense go out there. And when you know, everybody's out there is a professional, especially even across the field on the other sideline. When you see your team and your defense just at another, they're just a notch ahead of those guys. It's pretty amazing to watch. And I feel like the defense now that they've got a few of the players back that were injured that weren't able to play in the first couple of games, that the defense is really, you know, having some younger guys step up. But also, you know, Kyler Gordon was back out there. You saw him, you know, hitting the quarterback and also playing well in the slot on defensive guys and on running backs and things like that. So, man, it's just impressive to see. And it's they're playing continuity football. You know, when the defense takes the ball away, you got to get points. The only thing I would say growth factor wise is just when we are able to capitalize on the turnovers from the defense is we can't always count on field goals. When you play against really good teams that do the same thing, you're going to have to score touchdowns on those and make them pay you know, dearly for when they do turn the ball over.
So, Matt, you're right. The run game has been improved since the bye. And I was wondering about this. Olin had kind of talked about it a little bit last week, too. Like, hey, you were physical with 2 weeks off. And that's easy to do because your body is healed. But for them to go on a short week and still be physical, I think, is a step in the right direction. What are the things that you're seeing from their run game on why it's been successful?
The things I see that is the reason why they're successful is not, I think it's two things. It's the right play call at the right time. I'm excited that it's a lot of the runs that have been successful are from under center. It's not a bunch of gun runs where you're at 5.5 yards and you can't get a full head of steam. And, you know, if you get penetration when you're in the shotgun, you know, the play's kind of shot after that. But you see Caleb under the center and the running backs and DeAndre are able to get the 7.5, you know, yards deep and really let the field and the blocking scheme open up for them. And then the angles that they're creating, the angles are everything. When you have a defensive front, you know, whether they shift to under front or over front, or, you know, there's some kind of different look, they're able to either audible and go weak side or strong side, or they just create the angles to where you put your lineman at an advantage to be successful. You know, guys are athletic. Sometimes if there's a guy who's way outside, it's hard to reach that guy on an outside zone play. But if you have your play calling set up to where you've set your guys up to be in a good position, then the running back can also be patient back there and allow guys to get on their blocks and press the hole as we talked about last week. When you're able to not have penetration in the backfield, you're able to press the hole and allow those those double teams to get up on the linebackers and on the second level. And that's how you create those big plays where you're breaking through arm tackles and then the seams are there.
Man, I have always believed that it's that you can run better from under center, from under the gun. And it has been God, that conversation has gone for years now, because there are teams that do run it very well from under the gun, but I think most of them have a quarterback who is a threat, you know? Mm-hmm. So he's making people, you know, at least consider him on the edge as the middle is open. But tell us more about that, about running from under center and what that can do, how that's helping guys perhaps even get to the second level when they start as far back as they do.
Yeah, if you notice, when you run from the gun, you're offset to one side or the other. You know, they started to try to do the pistol formation where they're in the gun, but the running back's behind the quarterback with that. But it's harder to pass block and do play action when you do that too. But when you're under the center and you're in the backfield, you got the threat of both. And you also have the threat of going either way. If you're offset in the shotgun, it's very rare and not as often that you're able to start on the left side and run a run to the left side, you know, unless it's a toss, which, you know, it's not to the advantage of the offense to do that. And your first step as a running back, you want to be going forward instead of sideways. And when you're in the gun, a lot of times your first step, you got to come towards the quarterback to get the ball. You're running sideways a little bit. Now your shoulders may be square, but you're still running sideways a little bit. And when you're in the gun, it's harder to make something out of nothing when there's penetration or something goes wrong out of the gun than when you're under center. So it does help you to disguise certain plays. It does help you when you run in the same play out of a different formation. And then and at the same time too, you know, some of the times I would on play actions, I was catch the ball more out of the under the center after a fake, because the defense thinks it's a run and they try to get back into pass defense faster because they realized that we were in a run front and went to the pass. So there's a lot more advantageous, you know, I think, formations when you're under the center. Now, gun is important. It's something that you should definitely throw in the mix. But when you do heavily in gun runs, especially if it's short yardage, I cannot stand a third and short gun run unless there's six guys in the box or something like that. So we've seen that before over the years where it's been unsuccessful when we've had that. But, you know, my thing is, you do have the benefit of a threat to both pass and run, but then also the threat of, strong side or weak side when you line up under the center. And it's just a better threat and keeping the defense on their toes when you do that.
So far, watching DeAndre Swift in some of the zone runs, whether it's the mid or wide zone runs, I love that, and I thought that Ben Johnson's system would work for him just because of the type of back he's been and the type of vision that he has. On those plays, what were you looking for? Like, what were the landmarks that you were thinking about in trying to make those types of plays work?
Yeah, it's interesting. When we ran inside zone and it's a tighter zone, I'm looking at the two down, the double blocks, the with the center and the guard. And what they're doing, trying to get up to the next level on the linebackers. A lot of times it's kind of odd. Like my vision I don't know what other running backs say or what they look at and stuff, but sometimes, you know, your coach will tell you to look at your lineman and look at the backs or the color of the jersey and make sure you're pressing the hole. I wouldn't even look at the lineman. I would look at the next level to see where the linebackers are fitting, because if I'm running an inside zone to the right and I need to make the defense flow, I'm going to look at the linebackers to make sure they're flowing over the top. Because if they're going backside, which is where I want to cut, I may have to jump backside and then go front side because he's staying back, you know, in the back of the defense and fitting that gap. And then when it came to outside zone, you're looking towards the edge, you know, you're trying to make sure you're patient and you're looking at the back of your guy on the end of the line a little bit to make sure he's, you know, making his block. Because if you see his numbers, you know, straight towards you, then you know you're not getting outside of that block. But if you see that he's pinned the guy on the outside, then you could possibly, you know, get a run outside on the edge and be outside of a seven technique or even into the nine techniques out there. So if you look out there, you see a nine technique, you know, you're probably not going to get outside, where that's going to be kind of a kick out block by your tight end. And then everything else from there, you watch the flow of the defense. You know, you got to have good vision to be able to feel the flow of the front line not necessarily stare at them. You got to feel the flow of them. And then you're looking at the second and third level to see where they're flowing. I used to love a fast flow defense because I knew the cutback on the backside would be there all game because, you know, when you press the hole and you're able to cut backside, you know, they're not expecting you to go that way because you're running front side.
We're talking to Matt Forte on Spiegel and Holmes. I'm giggling because when we had the conversations in August, like, should we get Matt for a weekly? That'd be really cool. I remember thinking, well, this is going to be a wide open Ben Johnson offense. And running backs catch a lot of passes. Matt's been in wide open offenses. And here we are talking about bell cow running backs and 200 yards a game, Matt. I mean, that's where we are. And that's like some of the sexiest X's and O's hardcore run game stuff ever. And I thought we'd be, you know, it's a good thing to talk to Matt since he caught 100 passes one year. And you never know what this thing is going to look like. What do you see when you look at this quarterback? When you look at this young quarterback who just played his sixth game for his new offensive coach and coordinator?
Yeah, I see confidence growing in him. I see that there's still, you know, things to fix. And I think he knows that. I don't think he's under any self-deception to where he thinks that he's arrived in this offensive system yet or as even as a player in the league. And I like how he's handling himself, whether it be in the media and the questions that he gets or on the field. And I think that he's playing well. He's playing efficiently. And, you know, there hasn't been a lot of turnovers that have been, you know, by him. There's been, you know, those here and there that have – been kind of just a knucklehead play, but at the same time, I think he learns from that and is one of those guys that when I make a mistake, I don't want to make the same mistake twice. And that's encouraging to me. So I love that he has been playing at a high level and that the running game is supporting him because it really does take a lot of pressure off of him and allows him to be back there and make plays the way that he knows how to. So, All of what I see has been very encouraging within what Ben Johnson has been doing. And that's even the most impressive is how Ben has been able to, after the first two games, it's been easy to just pack it in and be like, oh, here we go again, right? And then they've been able to go on the road, win games on the road, but then also to establish this running game to be consistent and not just a one game, you know, surprise type of thing. And then against good run defenses, you know, doesn't matter what they say. Oh, this is the top rated defense in the league or this and that. But you got to go out there and play the game. And they've been able to do that. So I've seen a lot of growth in both, you know, Caleb as a player, but within the system that Ben is running.
Matt, as always, man, we appreciate the time and the lessons about the run game, man. This is great stuff. We appreciate you.
Absolutely. Let's stick to it.
One more thing, Matt. Did you stop when you saw green grass field this week in the car and go run? Did you run in the field this week?
Or were you with the horses?
I was with the horse. I was out there, you know, late on Friday night. I went straight out there, passed up the green grass to go to the stall and get the horse. And we had a time out there. I stayed out there till about 11 o'clock. So, man, I was out there. It's just peaceful, man. You know, and I just get the. I sometimes feel good enough to race my horse.
That's what I'm wondering. Did you run at full speed at any time this week and just let it eat? Let your sprinter's body eat this week?
Man, I haven't ran at full speed in a long time because I'm about to be 40 and I value not having a torn hamstring because I had that before. So, man, I just enjoy it. But it's funny that I do have the initial thought of, man, I think I could run just as fast as this horse. And then I was like, okay, let's go back to reality.
What's the horse's name?
Gumbo.
Gumbo! Gumbo! Oh, that's perfect for a guy from Louisiana. Okay. All right, that's perfect. Matt, we'll talk to you next week, man.
All right, brother. See y'all.
See you.
That is Matt Forte.
Man, I'm really enjoying his weekly hits. And I love what he said about Caleb and he said he doesn't see self-deception, and that exactly plays into what we're going to talk about next segment.
Yeah, we do need to talk about that quite a bit. Then we have to keep discussing. We're also happy if you guys want to join us as well. 312-644-6767 is the number. What an education we got today. Like we are learning some football, and it's good. What are you laughing at?
I'm laughing at this idea, man.
Of like, how different it is from what we thought it would be.
I'm looking at Matt Forte's career. It's like, man, that man had 63 catches as a rookie, 76 targets. And then that year, he had 102 catches. He had 130 targets. You remember that year where Cutler was just like, I'm just going to check it down. I'm just going to check it down. And now I think I'll check it down again. And I think I'm going to check it down. And, you know... And here we are talking about bell cow running backs and the I formation.
In that 2010 season, Matt Forte had 1,616 yards from scrimmage.
Wow. It's crazy.
Oh, I see Kellen Davis is on there. He still owes me. Never paid the tab.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. My guys, Forte, Olin, Alex, Lance, always pick up the tab.
Man, you gotta light people up like that. When they haven't done it.
Well, Kellen was 6'7 and like 280, but.
Like, Kellen, you win a Super Bowl in this town, you'll never have to pay for a meal in your life. Never pay for a meal. I'm in.
You didn't win the Super Bowl, though, Kellen. You didn't.
Didn't go to one.
He only heard the back half of the statement.
That's all he heard.
That's all he heard.
Be at the end of the Miller Lite Top Draft Show, and they'd be like, all right, here you go, Mr. Holmes. I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah, there we go.
That's a lot of money. And was it worth it? Probably not.
Texture says, knowing Matt Forte as a horse named Gumbo has made my day.
I know, right?
Just feels great.
Because, of course, he has course a horse named Gumbo.
Hey, Jambalaya, come here.
That'll be the next one.
Come here.
And then one named Rue, I'm guessing, at one point.
And Etouffee. Come here, Etouffee.
Get a whole stable of that.
Hey, Beignet, what's up?
Oh, Beignet would be awesome. I think you got to go Beignet as the dog, right?
You love donuts and sweets so much. Your face just lit up. Beignet
the dog
would
needs
be
to
awesome.
Be named Crawdad.
Oh, I like that. Look, that's good.
I don't know, Alex. I don't know, man. All right. Look.
I'll stick to chicken, I guess.
Yeah, what is this? By the way, yesterday, Speaks, I went over to Medici on 57. And I was looking for
such good pastries over there.
That's what I went for.
That's where you go.
I got out of the donut business for a couple of days, and I said, let me go because my nieces and nephews came over and ate all the donuts that I had at my house on Saturday, which is totally fine.
Medici has like three great savory croissants, like the ham and cheese and the spinach croissant.
I got the ham and cheese for today, but yesterday they had a strawberry and a cream cheese. Yeah, man, and it was just staring at me, and I was like, I have to have that.
In a Danish or
yes. And so it was so good.
Did you love your partner or not?
I thought about bringing you the other half because I cut it in half because it was so rich. I was like, I can only do half of this, but I will bring you one next week.
It's okay.
Next week, now that I know that it's the flavor profile.
Oh, spot on.
But there's the quince one too, and I want you to try that.
The quince?
I was skeptical too
until
I tried it. And then I was like, damn it, that is great. I'll bring that next week. That'll be my contract. Well, we'll get victory croissants and Danish
well,
for next week.
Setback sweetener is the thing. If
I don't want
a loss,
there to be setback sweetener.
I know it's tricky because you got to buy it the day before. I mean, you could buy it Monday morning.
I don't want setback sweetener. I want to keep going with the victory food.
Yeah, that would be nice.
That feels a lot better than anything else. Let's talk about Caleb and being accountable next here on The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk three times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
You're starting, I don't want to say from scratch because it's the second year from Caleb, but in this system, you're starting from scratch.
Yeah, you got so much opportunity to shape and you know, have an impact with Caleb Williams. You know, I know the one thing, it's going to be the completion rate. You know, that's the one thing that he's got to get him better at. He's at 56% today. That's the one area. Take the easy throw. Take the boring throw. It doesn't always have to be that spectacular throw that you can make.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
Moose Johnston on the call with our buddy Cougs yesterday.
Cougs!
It's fun to have him on the show, man.
Totally agree.
Especially we flipped over to Cubs conversation.
His hardcore, Sahadev-level Cubs analysis mixed with, I'm not saying, I'm just saying, pure fandom.
Uh-huh.
Was awesome.
Yeah, it was really, really great. This is the Spiegel and Holmes show. Thank you so much for hanging out. There'll be some new sound from Ben Johnson that we want to get to. But Speaks came in today and he's like, hey, did you guys see what I saw in the post-game press conference? We were like, go ahead. So go ahead.
So I want to see from Caleb this year accountability. I want to see him learn from the head coach who's willing to say when he screwed up. And I want to see a young guy who's willing to stand in his truth and say when he screwed up. Last week when he said he got the play call wrong on the DeAndre Swift touchdown, I was like, hell yeah, man, good for you. It happens. You're young. There's nothing harder maybe in all of sports than to do what you're doing and develop as a young quarterback. So there are a few different things in his post-game presser. One was about his decision whether to run or not. We're actually going to hold that till next segment because we have also some new Ben Johnson about that. But here's some other Caleb. In general, he said right away that he was not at his best yesterday.
Defense had 4 turnovers, 4 sacks. I threw an interception. I didn't play well today.
I didn't play well today. That's nice and clean, man. You didn't. That's okay. You got to win. The team picked you up. Good for you. You know, just be comfortable saying it. We all have bad days. Dude had a bad day. A little bit more from Caleb, quickly saying it. He was asked about the snap issues between him and Drew Dalman.
Which was ugly yesterday. Where at one point, Drew Dalman, they got saved at one point by a pre-snap penalty. They got saved because Drew Dalman is holding on. So was it Homer Simpson who tried that in a football game, or was it Peter Griffin? One of them did that
where
in
they,
a game.
Where they don't snap?
Yeah, where they're the center and they like run with the ball.
The center sneak.
I feel like that was Peter when he was playing with Tom against Tom Brady with the Silly Nannies, but maybe maybe it was Homer. But Drew Dalman tried it yesterday.
Can't get away with that in the NFL. Here's Caleb on the snap issues.
It is frustrating just because we put so much time and energy into it. But I wouldn't say I put that on Drew or anybody. You know, I can, you know, I can take that blame.
I can take that blame. Frankly, I don't know if he should take that blame. But I love that he's taking that blame.
Quarterback should always take the blame on center quarterback exchange.
And you should always, but Dalman after the game said he kind of screwed up. But Caleb in his answer said it goes back to cadence. So maybe Caleb did screw it up. Either way, I love him taking that blame. Go ahead, young fella. It's all right. And you got to wear it.
Look, the quarterback should have to wear it, but I'll just say that there's one person in particular that he should always wear it for, and it's the center.
Yeah.
Every single time.
There you go.
It was me. It's not him. It was me.
Because that's your partner in knowledge acquisition and in execution. So you wear it for him.
It's why I don't blame Alex.
Right. I'm still working on that. I'm still kind of ironing out.
My cadence isn't great.
Still.
10. Yeah. Stand by.
What?
6.
7.
Stand by.
Go. Go.
Go.
It's not a great cadence. And then towards the end of Caleb's post, he gave you a nice summation of what they can be when everything comes together.
We have a defense, we have a special teams that can help us win games, a run game that can control the game. We get this figured out on my side. You know, we'll be putting up a lot of points. It'd be very dangerous.
So, look, once we get it figured out on my side. So, I love it. Accountability from the young guy. Let's listen to this, and you tell me where he's talking about the tough day that he had yesterday. You tell me if this is nice, clean accountability without what Matt Forte just referred to as self-deception. Here's Caleb.
Days like today, I would say, are needed. Just in the sense of it gives you a little bit more to be able to look back on something and figure out what. And so that's important. And so you have these moments, and then you get, you know, you get later in the season, and, you know, you may start to have one of these moments, and you get to go back to the feeling, go back to, you know, what was wrong, and you know, what you need to figure out early in the season. And so now, you know, when we're late in the season, it's like, okay, I remember what it was. I remember, you know, how can I fix it? It's more of a solution based, thing instead of it being like, you know, what's the issue? And so right now we're going to go back. I'm going to go look at the film. I'm going to figure out, and I am going to figure this out, especially with, you know, some of these explosive plays, some of these, you know, mainly talking about the on the run stuff. And I haven't been efficient with those. I haven't been hitting them, and it's frustrating. We're going to figure this out. I'm going to figure it out. When we start hitting on those cylinders, where we start having some of these explosive plays, especially, you know, when the play breaks and it turns into our second play, it's going to be, real devastating to the other side. So we're going to figure it out. I'm going to figure it out. And then other than that, it just comes down to the basics, feet, eyes, delivering a good ball to the guys. And then it comes down to, like I said before, communication and make sure everybody's on the same page. And, you know, we're rolling off the ball.
So I like it in general. I worry that he's a little too focused on the on-the-run stuff, mm-hmm. the special stuff.
That we know that he can do, and like he shouldn't worry that much about it.
And that he chose to do instead of scrambling to get a few yards.
Yeah.
And that it does not speak to the interception or the inaccuracies in structure, which are more concerning. You know, to me, so I just feel like he's a little still in love with what it seemed like he was in love with coming out, the special off script, out of structure stuff.
Yeah, I would love to have a conversation, pick five of the best offensive coaches in the NFL, and let's throw Ben Johnson in there too, because I think that he's part of that group, and really talk to them about the importance of chain moving. And trying to get that across to young, exciting players that are used to, hey, man, I got to make something happen. I have to make something happen, instead of it's going to happen. There's going to be those opportunities inside of games. But let's get this first down first. Let's make sure that it's third and three.
Let's get a positive play. Remember Tom Brady saying the Belichick secret that he learned was don't have negative plays?
Yeah.
Period.
But I think that with any of these young quarterbacks, like the group that's out there right now, they are so known for the big play that I don't want to say this as a pejorative, and I know it's going to be taken that way. It's boring to check it down. It's boring to hit the 6-yard hook play. Those are boring when we can let's get some movement going. And I felt like both of those quarterbacks yesterday,
both of them,
did that, where there was the one play where it looked like Rattler had 10 yards to run
and he chose not to.
And he's like, no, I'm a chuck it. He's like, don't do that. Or when he's not being careful with the ball in the pocket. Yesterday, and he works out great for the Bears, but you're stumbling with one hand on the ball as you try to navigate a dirty pocket because you want to make a spectacular play instead of just making the play.
Was it Alex who said it or Tanny in the group thread? We're talking about both quarterbacks at one point yesterday. This is some Lincoln Riley protege sloppy ass stuff that's going on.
It was Tanny.
It was both of them, both quarterbacks. And there's a component of ego There's a component of youthful ego in there of like, I can do anything. And at this level, sometimes you can't. And you just got to let an overall team be the thing. That's what is getting broken down this year. And I think it can happen with Caleb. But like that ego is what's getting broken down by hard coaching.
So look, since we're doing Back to the Future today, I covered a quarterback who felt this way. I actually covered two quarterbacks who felt this way. Both Rex and Jay felt like their arm was strong enough that they could make any throw. In Jay's case, he was a better athlete than Rex. And Jay made a lot of plays with his feet. But there would be times where Jay would be like, I can wait on that window because my arm is strong enough that I'm going to be able to make that throw later than I'm supposed to. And it would bite him in the ass so often.
Yeah, man.
And Rex kind of did the same thing, although he was doing it more from the pocket. He's like, I can zip this. Like I can rifle this thing. And sometimes he would win. And he was right. But most of the time, it was a mistake. Yeah. So ego comes into it, and you have to learn how to let some of it go. And that's a hard thing to ask.
It's incredibly hard. It's difficult. It's Mayfield still does the special and spectacular sometimes. But he is thoroughly happy to do the basics and do what he needs to do and play within structure and scramble for a few yards. And Caleb has had those moments this year where he's shown it. Yesterday, and we'll talk about the running specifically in a moment. Yesterday, I did feel like maybe he and Rattler were kind of in a little ego competition.
Mm-hmm.
It felt a little like that out there at times.
Yeah, it did feel that way. And it was gross, kind of, you know? Like
it was just youthful, man.
It was. It was very high school.
I mean I remember being in my 20s and being, you know, ego driven and full and competitive like that, as opposed to now, Lawrence, where I'm so
you're totally got everything covered,
right?
Now,
don't you think so? I'm like so evolved. Thank you, Alex, for acknowledging that. Appreciate that.
First nice thing you said about Alex today.
You're very humble, Speaks. That's the word you were looking for.
I think that's the best part about me.
I would say all things
play in structure.
No.
Yeah, I can broadcast in structure. Although I do like being out of structure.
You like it a little too much. I like the chaos inside of the structure.
I know. Yeah. Well, you know, there's room for everybody. But
that's right, Caleb.
It's so funny, man. This is like, but this is the stuff. This is the human stuff that's going on in the coach and quarterback dynamic, or at least our interpretation of it. And again, he's a kid and he's developing and they're winning while he's developing, which is awesome.
Why don't we talk about scrambling to throw versus scrambling to pick up yards? Because I'm fascinated with that equation for every quarterback, but especially the one that quarterbacks the Bears. Let's talk about all of that next here on The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk three times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Well, I've been waiting to say, and the stars are Spiegel and Holmes, Chicago.
Afternoons on The Score.
Now Williams to work. Little head and shoulder fake. Pressure coming. Williams looking for an escape hatch. Throws on the run. It's deflected and almost caught on the deflection by Durham Smythe, but he's out of bounds.
Yeah, don't know why he came back on that last one. There was an opportunity right near the end. I think it's there where you just could have gone up and kind of split that and take your chances there. You know, don't get out on the move and make a mistake. And again, you know, there's a point in time where the play is over and you just kind of move on to the next snap. And that's another thing that Caleb Williams has to understand too. And there's a good example right there.
That's Moose Johnston and the Cougs on the call yesterday. I think that was the play as they were going to break. And Alex Kuhn spotted this in real time, again, showing his value. Jonah Jackson telling Caleb to go downfield and pointing
at the open space that was available for him if he just climbed the pocket and ran.
Just climb the pocket, and if it's there, go ahead and run and go get some yards, maybe even the first down. And Caleb's been doing that this year very effectively. And Caleb nodded to Jonah Jackson and also pointed down the field. Here's Caleb Williams after the game talking about his decision to not run on some of those plays and instead scramble around, which he did a lot, and it didn't lead to completions, at least yesterday.
You know, it's just being able to understand in those situations that even if I'm not hitting or anything like that, you know, how a QB run in those situations where maybe, you know, the defense calls a good call or a perfect call or whatever the case may be, the QB takes off and gets positive yards. I think I've done a good job with that so far this year. I think today I did not.
Today I did not. Again, that's beautiful. Good for you. Yesterday you did not, but he has done a good job on it so far this year.
It's a tough, that equation is really hard to figure out. Whether you go and get the yards or if you run to open a window to throw the ball down the field.
Because, man, he is creative when he scrambles. Like, he's unpredictable. The stops, the starts, the spins, the rights, the lefts. He's very good at that stuff.
I wish I had a really strong sense of what I wanted Caleb to do on this. I just kind of want him to figure it out through trial and error. And the best part about this is he can do this because the team is winning, that you can try some things out and maybe you fail. Maybe you go, oh, you know what? Looking back at the tape, man, I left 60 yards on the field with my legs. I could have just gotten us 60 yards. I could have gotten us into third and short. I could have picked up another first down. But I also want him to, because he's a special athlete, I do want him to use that to his advantage and say, I'm going to manipulate the defense here. I'm going to make those linebackers and those DBs pay attention because I might run.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to let Rome and OZ and DJ get behind them and make a big play. I'm not sure. I'm stuck in a place of not knowing how to feel about what I want him to do.
Understandable. Jason Leisure, our guy, asked Ben Johnson about it yesterday, and Ben delayed answering about that because he was hesitant to blast his guy yet, said he needed to look at the tape. He did say, quote, broken down plays are not giving us the yardage we would like, unquote. Now he has watched the tape. He has seen the film. And he talked today. This is new from Ben Johnson on Caleb scrambling or not.
Ben, you guys seem like Caleb had put the risky scrambling behind them. Was this regression on his part? And what was your message to him?
Well, we just went over those a little while ago, and I feel like there's a few of those that we could have back and maybe make a little bit different decision than what we did in the moment's notice. And so I mean, that's part of what makes him special as a player. And so you don't want to neuter him. You don't. That's a dangerous road to go down because he's got this natural ability to feel the pocket and know when to escape and extend. And I think more than anything for us, it's just making sure we're on the same page of the time and the place, the situation for where that Superman cape comes out. And at other times whether we're running with our legs a little bit more or throwing the ball away where that needs to come into play.
Man, that's a thoughtful answer. It speaks to exactly your conundrum.
Yeah, because
it's time and place and situation, yeah, man. It's that extra level of understanding.
It's a really – the thing that I don't like about yesterday, and if you went through the film with Ben, he could definitely explain it a lot better, was that a product of things weren't going right? And so it's the concept of hitting the 5-run homer. Like, things aren't going right. I know I need to do something, so I'm going to try to do something spectacular.
Yeah.
Instead of just taking the 6 yards.
Hey, man, that was a team that you are better than. You might not see that many of them that you're purely better than.
Yeah, you've just got better talent all the way around, yeah. and it played out.
At your place. And you were running all over them, and that game was set up to be a comfy blowout, frankly. And it didn't end up a comfy blowout. You still won? Good.
Because New Orleans was ready to give up.
Yo, that's absolutely.
The defense had played really well at the beginning, and then it was like, oh, all right.
Oh, we can't stop them. All right.
All right. But then there was life that was given. And I know that you think Ben played a role in them having a little bit of life.
He sure did.
That was given to them.
But Caleb did, too, by not just helping the chains move sometimes and trying to do spectacular when he didn't need to. But it's situational awareness. And I love that Ben said what you hinted at, man. Can't neuter him because it makes him great.
Yep. When we come back, we haven't really talked about the defense, and we should. They were phenomenal yesterday. And watching Dennis Allen get to mastermind this a little bit was really fun. We'll explain how and why next here on The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.